Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you haven't seen any of the clips coming out next Friday on this live DVD, and you've heard me tell you for years why Blackberry Smoke is most likely the greatest live touring band in America today. But you have to see it. That's why you got to buy this DVD. Every album is incredible, but if you want to fall in love with them, you got to see them live. This just got released, kind of a tease for the upcoming DVD. Listen to the crowd here.
You don't climb too high or dream too much. With a whole lot of work and a little bit of luck, you can wind up right back where your daddy was.
And now, what you got to keep in mind with that crowd is that didn't come because they saw it on video. They didn't come because they heard it on the radio.
Right.
That's because you're a genuine fan. And all those guys, tens of thousands of people get together. Where's the one from South America?
Right here.
And then we're going to cut right to Charlie. But same thing. This happened in Brazil.
Guest is the frontman for the southern rock band who have built a huge following by touring relentlessly, selling out shows across the US and Europe. His name is Charlie Starr. The band is Blackberry Smoke. Friday, November 15th, the band released an all-new DVD titled Homecoming, live in Atlanta. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Blackberry Smoke frontman, Charlie Starr.
Mr. Charlie Starr.
Johnny.
How are you, man? You get a couple weeks off, work on some new music, get this DVD released, and then back out again.
Yeah, man. We're home. We actually went in the studio for a few days last week, working on some new stuff, and then doing chores.
I'm super excited.
Gone, and there's a long list of chores.
And hopefully it involves taking the kids fishing, getting them out a little bit, and then get to the chores.
Yeah, all of that. And then, the honey-do list.
Right.
At this point, it's like a CVS receipt.
Yeah, because you think, and you worked your ass off. Everybody in that band, you're a working band. But you do, I'm sure you get home, and just like anything else, they're like, hey, so I've been doing this by myself for a few months now, so here you go.
Take the baby, hang the picture, go.
Yeah, got to be the weirdest thing to come off all those stages across the world. I mean, the world over. And certainly you're a real working guy, so it's not that it's beneath you, but it's just a big change in what you do with your day-to-day.
It is. It's a different dynamic, and it's something that you have to get used to over the years. You know, it's but it's great. Nothing like coming home, you know.
So this, well, speaking of coming home, Homecoming comes out a week from tomorrow, and this is, I'm excited to see it because that's what made all of us a huge fan. You know, years ago, Jesse had hipped us to Bad Luck Ain't No Crime. We were listening to it on the way to Sturgis, and we walked into the original Throttle and watched you guys burn it to the ground, no pun intended, and it was so good, we all became instant fans, I mean, the day of. It was like watching a stock car race, and over the years, everything's evolved, and it's just, it's one of those bands, Blackberry, that's got that magic. It's got that live magic. It's where you guys have always lived.
Well, man, thank you. This I'm really excited about this DVD and album. I mean, genuinely, the only problem that we had putting it together was cutting it down to fit the format, because we played for over 3 hours that night, and tons and tons of B-roll footage, you know, of the parking lot and the party and the people and all of that stuff. And so that's always a pretty daunting task when you look at it, when you stand back far enough to see the whole thing. And it's like, oh man, well, we've got, you know, 6 hours worth of stuff here. So, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with that. And that's a nice problem to have, having too much stuff.
See, that's too much.
And it turned out really well. I like to look at each one that we've done and say, hey, it's better than the last one. Or, you know, I mean, not to say,
well, I think you always get better.
Bad, but you always want to improve, you know, with the editing and with everything that, it's fantastic.
Well, the thing about Blackberry for me is the team, is the band. Everybody in that band has got a voice and an idea. And it's, you don't have a giant management team behind you telling you what to do. Nobody, you've never allowed anybody to tell you what to do. So when a shirt comes out, you guys have approved and created the shirt, the album cover, the songs, the way it sounds, the production, the arrangement. You talk about a DVD, you guys are involved in everything. You're not the guys who walk out and then go, wow, I wonder who thought of all this. It was us. It was always you guys.
Right. That's the only thing we can control. I actually got some news the other day that a good friend of mine was turned down by a label because he was too old. And I thought, am I in the Twilight Zone? Is this kind of thing still actually happening?
God, his music, the songwriting, they loved it, but he'd aged out of what they felt comfortable with.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay, well, not like we're all in boy bands or anything, but whatever. and I'm 10 years older. I'm 10 years older than this person is.
Oh.
So I just kind of had to say, hey, you know what? Who cares?
Hey, listen, we've all heard the stories about, you know, record companies that knew so much and that passed over somebody, and then somebody went, no, I don't think you're seeing that right at all. And they become the
right,
biggest thing in the world. So, you know, just like any other job, just because some tool bag gets the office doesn't mean he's good at it.
Right. If we remember, you know, Decca Records passed on the Beatles.
That's right.
So there's always somebody that's left holding the bag.
Well, and you guys are the great example. And you told me, not naming names, but other very big artists have said, man, I wish we could do what you guys do. We should be honest like you, because they're getting singles written by somebody else rammed down their throat because that's what the record company wants. And you guys knew early on that's not how you were built.
Right. I could tell you stories, man. Wow. It just gets, it's comedy at its finest.
Well,
and the decisions.
Knowing you guys, who are the sweetest, kindest, most fan-friendly, genuine family. There's another side. Go ahead. Poke him. Tell him what to do. Tell someone in that band how it's going to be and see what the reaction is.
Yeah, it could get ugly.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Well, those are the scariest ones, aren't they? Guys, listen, I have never had my ass kicked by someone who told me they were going to kick my ass, but a real nice, quiet guy laid me out straight-legged one day.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about AC/DC, even from Jesse, about Angus and Malcolm, and how they, you know, that's how it's done. The business side of the industry comes and goes, but those guys, you didn't mess with them, and they were, what, 4'2"?
Mm-hmm. Angry little gremlins. Hell, half the time you couldn't understand what they were saying.
Yeah.
And, dude, you want to talk about a band that did not like their record company. I remember we went to the last dress rehearsal in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania for Black Ice. They wouldn't let their own record company backstage at all. None. And they'd been there for 6 weeks. They could be in the crowd, but they could not be anywhere past the stage. And I remember we were leaving, and Jesse gets a call from Brian, and Brian wants to know where we are. We're like, we're leaving. We go back. It's nothing but the band, the crew, and they're having a great party to celebrate a wonderful dress rehearsal 6 weeks. And not one Walmart person, not one Sony, nobody. Nobody was back. They've never loved the record companies.
Yeah, not invited.
Well, that's how they survived, right? Because they did what they do, and that's what BlackBerry does. You guys, wherever it takes you is where you're going to go, from motorcycle rallies to, getting out there with Government Mule. That's the great thing about this band. It's just great music.
Well, thanks, man. I mean, you just have to insulate yourself, and it is like a little gang, and make the blood brother oath and stick to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, the DVD comes out a week from tomorrow. If you've never seen them live, first of all, find out when you can and go. If the next best thing is going to be this DVD, make sure you purchase it now. You can get it. It's coming. It's called Homecoming, live in Atlanta. And this is another thing I want to comment on. I find it's really tough for a lot of bands locally. When they hit big, there's a weird phenomenon. I've seen it happen here in Kansas City. They'll have a huge hit, multiple huge hits, and for some reason they don't sell well in their own hometown, but that's never been the issue with Atlanta and you guys. You guys in Atlanta come in there, and they get you, they love you, they pack the place out. It's sold out in moments.
Man, it's been a nice tradition for our, holiday show in Atlanta, and we're doing it again this year, of course. The night after Thanksgiving and the following night, we're doing two nights at the Tabernacle there. And if you've never been to the Tabernacle, it's a fantastic place to see a show. I think I saw the Black Crowes there a couple times in the early 2000s, and saw Jack White and the Raconteurs and Slayer. And it's just a great place to see and hear a show. Just went and saw Slash there before the Guns N' Roses. This last leg of their tour started. Went to see Slash and Miles Kennedy. It's just fantastic.
When you're a kid and you have those places, can I get it now? Especially get it now. I got a couple more miles on me. Like the Uptown Theater. I remember going to see Metallica, and they opened for Wasp.
Yeah, exactly. My wife has a bunch of old ticket stubs from her years and years and years of concert going, and she's got a ticket stub from the Fox in Atlanta, Driving and Crying, 1988, maybe, and the opening act was Widespread Panic, who now sell out, arenas around the world.
What did Jesse tell me? I believe he, and I may get the story wrong, but if I remember correctly, there was a drunken night he was telling me they were banned from the Fox Theater at the beginning. They just got their record deal, and he may or may not have had a few roosters that got loose on the stage and out into the audience, and there was a bit of a melee about the whole thing.
There was, and the local news anchor, Monica Kaufman, at that time, was sitting on the front row, and he said that they were playing with the Indigo Girls. maybe a couple of guys from R.E.M. And he said that the people that wanted him to do it, he said, I don't want to go on before them. Or maybe after them. I don't know. He had, they had heat, and he was like, that's not my scene. So no,
right.
But he did it. And he said, well, I know what I have to do, because if I don't do something special, the newspaper is going to, the front page tomorrow is going to read the Indigo Girls or R.E.M. did this or that or this or that.
Right.
So he said he did that. And he said, not one damn word was printed about the Indigo Girls or R.E.M.
You learn these lessons early on, man. It's good or bad, but you're going to talk about it. It's And speaking of him, quickly, I heard some of the songs that Nigel and Tuck have done, and I know that Your Blessing and Butch Walker's Blessing, and I Man to the Moon. I hope those guys, the Restless Hearts, that band Nigel's working with, I was absolutely knocked out by how good it sounds.
Yeah, man, love those guys. Tuck is just he's a star.
Yeah,
he's fantastic, and who could he have better in his band than Nigel? You know,
I'm excited, man. I'm hoping those guys get to go out and do some shows with you at some point. Everything starts to unravel and show itself. And at that point, you know, they get to go out and take some experiences with guys like you.
Yeah, man. I would love that. It would be fantastic. We had Tuck in previous band over in Europe for 6 weeks a couple of years ago, and it was a party. That's for sure.
Well, it's always good. Well, this is the thing, and I'm sorry I keep going on, but you keep reminding me stuff. People don't know this, but you guys, Unsigned, first come out, and these other bands are so in love with you, whether it be Skynyrd or ZZ Top, they would just fall in love with Blackberry Smoke with no record deal, no radio play, nothing. But they loved watching you guys play and hearing what you were doing, that these huge international acts would just take you out, which is really unheard of.
Well, we've been very fortunate, man. We just went and played with Guns N' Roses in Lincoln, Nebraska. That was that record changed our lives in high school. Junior high, I think it was in junior high. At any rate, their audience can be tough. And, you just go out and do what we do. And we had some little pockets of fans that were there, and they were singing and jumping around, and that was great. But it's still, at the end of the day, I was like, okay, well, you know, that's the Guns N' Roses audience.
Sure.
So come off, and Richard Fortus is like, he and Duff McKagan are standing over on the side of the stage, and he said, all right, man, great show. And I said, tough crowd. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, tough crowd. And he said, are you kidding me? Did you see? I mean, and there was people that had they were our fans. They had our shirts on, you know. And, he said, that's a lot more than a lot of openers get on the Guns N' Roses tour.
No doubt.
Short of tomatoes being thrown. So then, well, okay. I'll take it.
Well, and to your credit, bands don't get to open for Guns N' Roses unless Guns N' Roses loves the band. It's not about money. It's not about anything other than that. There's no record label that can push a band on them. It's they all get together, I think, and they go, yeah, no, we think this is a great band. Let's have them open. And you'll notice as you go through it, that it really is that case. It's only special stuff, man, like that. I love that for those guys.
Man, it was really a special occasion in my book. Just to experience that mania that still exists for that band, you know?
Sure.
That's, who would have thought? And, you know.
I got to tell you, I got lucky enough. Duff would throw his arm around me, and I got a call at my house one afternoon, and from Bob, Bob, the program director, he goes, "Hey, Duff McKagan's manager just called. Duff's going to call you in about 2 minutes." I pick up the phone, and he goes, "Hey, I'm coming through town. You want to go eat dinner?" And I was like, "Yes, yes." And it's at the point where in my head, I always say Duff McKagan, not even Duff. So in my head, I'm like, "Yes, Duff McKagan." And you're just so I'm sitting across dinner trying to be cool, and we're just eating barbecue and talking about history and travel and. But I'm so inside, it's butterflies, because you're right, Appetite for Destruction changed my life.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking to him after the show, and he made that solo record this mm-hmm. year, which is really like an Americana record.
With Shooter.
It's got pedal steel and fiddle, and with Shooter, yeah, it's more like, I'm not going to say country, but it's not, you know, it's not a...
It is Americana.
Rock and roll record.
Right.
But it's these beautiful songs and these heartfelt storytelling coming from Duff, you know. And I asked him about that tour because they went to Europe and had a great time. And I played tons of shows with Shooter. And it's just a funny thing. He was so excited talking about that.
I love it.
And he knew. He was like, well, I know a lot of, you know, Guns N' Roses fans. Like, that's not their thing. But he loves it dearly, you know. And I thought, oh, I feel like I had a brother.
Yeah.
Like, well... That's it was just really refreshing to see him be so passionate about, because he could, I mean, look, he doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to do anything.
No.
He was in Guns N' Roses. He can go do, you know, he could not work again for the rest of his life, but he really, really loves what he's doing dearly. And I think that maybe he was a champion of ours getting us on the show, he and Slash, because I don't know if Axl Rose could give a damn about what we do. God bless those guys.
Yes.
They're good friends, man. That's great.
I love that. Listen, get your chores done, man. You got some work to do today. I appreciate you getting up early, and have great shows on Thanksgiving. And we'll see you soon, but next Friday, man. I cannot wait. It's already paid for. I cannot wait to download it and watch it at my house.
Yeah, man. You'll dig it. It's good.
The great Charlie Starr. Love you, brother.
Come on, Charlie. Stay away. That's what you get because you couldn't take the pain. I ain't never had.